opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bob. Good morning. It is 7:05 and 48 seconds after the hour. 5 minutes and 49 seconds after the hour. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning there, Bad Bob.
Good morning and apologies to the fans of the Camel. We got a little bit off stride and that computer was not up yet.
Well, you know, Linda.
The Camel will make it.
It's a good thing that Linda is still on her trip to up into the fishing ranch up in Tennant area.
Yeah.
I've got an update from them, but what's it look like here for as far as heat goes?
Well, we're closing.
And we're not into that. You're famous. We're not into your famous weather report of hot.
Well, we are closing in on the triple digits today, though. We will be right around 97 for a high. Overnight low of 65. Tomorrow we do jump into the century plus mark with a high of about 103. It'll warm up to 104 on Friday. 105 on Saturday, so it just keeps getting better and better. Looking into next week, we see temperatures hovering right around seasonal normals, around the 100-degree mark, give or take a few, warming up a little bit more towards middle week. Looks like we're going to stay that way for at least the next 10 days. Right now in Reading, it is 67 degrees, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer out there. And during this time frame, it is a veteran-owned business, Chuck and Judy Kinney. And they give discounts to seniors and veterans. And they've won awards for giving veterans jobs out there. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by WellCare MD right here in Reading. It's one of the first practices in Reading to offer direct primary care. A simple and convenient healthcare model provides unlimited office visits for a flat monthly fee. That's right. One flat monthly fee provides unlimited access to your doctor as well as 24/7 access to her via text, email, and phone. They don't accept health insurance. So you have this. And you need to call and find out. This is a very reasonable amount of money for that flat monthly fee to be able to get you in and spend the time with a doctor to find out what's going on with you and to keep you healthy. That's right. WellCare MD. Give them a call at 262-6626. You know, you might want to avoid the rush because as we've been learning with on the medical side that we are just in deep trouble with the what's happening here starting in 2017 with the rising of the cost of health care, you know, up to 20%, 30%, 50% in some areas. Not enough doctors, not enough, you know, there's more people going to the emergency room than ever. So you might want to take a little good look at WellCare MD. 262-6626. Okay, buddy. Okay, update from Linda and the girls.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They went to a museum in Klamath Falls.
And okay.
It's a Native American museum. And she said it was probably one of the finest museums she has ever seen. It has just got everything in there. And they had one of those, you know, behind the scenes tours. They had a lady that, you know, that works there, mm-hmm. that did it for them. And I think the admission's $10, but it's just, she said, everything is just, she said, I can't say enough about it, including a collection of miniature guns.
Oh.
Every gun ever made, they've got it in miniature.
There's a lot of these little
Barbie doll guns.
Yeah.
She said, and they shoot. Yeah. No. She said, yeah. So, you know, so when she comes back and sometime here this fall, we're going to go on up there and take a look at it. She said it was just magnificent. She said it's just like, you know, like you just said, oh, you've got these hidden gems
mm-hmm.
out there. You know, the Olympics. Are you watching the Olympics?
I'm just the highlights.
I've got 163 hours of Olympics already taped. So I go through them. So yesterday, The USA should have whipped up, the women's soccer team should have whooped, opened a can of whoop butt on the Colombians. Well, what happens is the Colombians score first on a Hope solo error. Goes right between her legs. Okay, I'm not saying it wasn't a good kick, but I mean she was in front of it. She's down in front of it. Went right underneath her hands, between her legs.
Oh.
And Colombia scored. Well, the United States, and this is the first game that Megan Rapinoe has come back in. She's played like 34 minutes in it. So the Americans come back and score 2-1. With like 2 minutes left in the game, the Colombians get a side kick from something over there. Not all the way over, a corner kick, but a side kick. And the same girl that kicked the first goal, scored the first goal, she's a left-foot kicker, and she kicks it, and it comes out and curves. I mean, there isn't a pitcher in the major leagues that wishes they didn't have a curve even half like this. She starts it out like toward midfield, and this ball comes back. Solo's running and leaps in the air, and this ball goes into the upper left corner of the goal to tie the Americans.
Oh, man.
So the Americans go in there with you know, a win, a loss, and two ties or something like that. Anyway, but so they're still first, but it didn't give them what they thought. They thought, you know, somebody played the Colombians the other day, and once they get scored on, they lose heart. Yeah. But once they get confidence, I mean, they're out there scrapping. I mean, they're just banging into each other and everything. So anyway, but...
Well, a walkover would be boring, so a little, it would, you know.
Be. Yeah. Well, soccer's boring. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I mean, I know my daughter plays this, or my granddaughter plays this.
A lot of moms around.
Well, you know what, soccer, you know, I mean, I understand. Some people, it's a great exercise and all that, but oh, my gosh. And, I mean, if I don't understand those tiny nuances where they kick the ball back and forth to each other, and then they kick it back. You know, I know it's strategy and tactics. And then they kick the ball back, you know, further away. And then they kick it up further, you know, kick it up closer. And then everybody runs like crazy. I mean, then there's excitement. And then they kick the ball back and forth. And so, you know, so
I'm picturing mommies in minivans going, "You know nothing, Carl.
I know nothing." You know what? That's true. And if I go out and watch my granddaughter, I'm as excited as anybody. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. You know, kick them in the shins. Kick them in the shins. Michael Phelps comes back, wins two more gold medals. This is the third Olympics this guy is in. He comes out, the only person that's beaten him in the Olympics is this is a 200 butterfly guy from South Africa. And earlier this week in the prelims, he's staring at Phelps. You know, he gives him these, and he's giving a little fighting moves like this. And the look on Phelps' face, it was like, oh, you just poked the gorilla. And the look on his face, and they came out for the finals last night. Phelps pulling away, wins another individual gold medal at 200, the 200-meter butterfly, and this guy finishes fourth.
Oh, geez.
Doesn't even finish in the top three, the guy, the South African. And then he wins another gold medal in a relay. But then Katie Ledecky comes out, and this is her weak event, the 200-meter freestyle. And she smokes them.
Yeah.
She smokes them. So she wins. The U.S. gymnastics team, the females, I heard a statistic yesterday that kind of puts everything into perspective when you think about it. They were 10 points ahead in this one event. 10 points. You think, well, 10 points, yeah. And the announcer says, every point, figure it like this, it equates to one touchdown. Yeah. If you're thinking football, a point in gymnastics is like a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's how many points it is, you know. And they were just like way ahead, and then they come out last night and they win the team gold. And these girls, I mean, they are just, I mean, and they represent America in so many ways. I mean, African American, Hispanic, you know, and then the Caucasians. I mean, it's a cross cut of American society, and every one of them is just adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, 4'8", 5 feet, you know, 5'2". I mean, the big one's like, I think, 5'4". I mean, she's the huge one out there. I mean, she rests her elbow on two of the others' heads. Anyway, but this I tell you what, it is.
Muscular little
powerhouse. It's exciting. It's, you know, to watch things like that. With equestrians, we took third in the trials. You know, an American rider I mean, these are things that, don't get a lot of attention here in the United States, but yet we have people working at this every day to be that good to be in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't hear about it like fencing. We have a Muslim girl that's in the fencing.
Yeah.
In the fencing final. I don't know if she's in the finals, but she's a fencer for the United States. We have, you know, like 45-year-old guys riding horses in the equestrian events, the 3-day trials.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and then you get into the shooting events, and the girl, the 19-year-old wins the gold medal in the 10-meter air rifle. I mean, splits a perfect shot on her very first shot. It's perfect. Dead center, everything. But you never hear about them because it's those are sports that we...
It's not the sexy
They're not
stuff.
The professional sports out there. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. I've got a few more things to talk about. Vaccinations. Chicago. Chicago set a new record. We'll be right back after these messages.
September 10th, bring your family to the fair, the annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair.
Hi, my name is Chad David here at Orchard Nutrition Center. We've been holding our annual health fair for several years now. Our goal is to show the community what's out there for organic, GMO-free, natural. Show what vendors are actually local to Shasta County, Trinity County.
You'll have an opportunity to sample some of the Orchard Nutrition Center products and talk directly to vendors. Enjoy great food from the barbecue, including chicken and sausage from Smart Chicken, beef from Hat Creek Grown, and the always delicious Orchard Pizza. Entertainment from blues guitar singer Jimmy Limo, and plenty of fun for the kids, including a reptile party, raffles, and much more. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 10th, at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. For more information, visit them on Facebook or online at orchardnutrition.com. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Reading Kia's construction sale continues at 380 East Cypress Avenue in Reading with a great deal waiting for you.
The 2016 Kia Soul is the highest ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality.
For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
And now with $750 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months.
All 16-14s and Optimus are priced to move with $1,000 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months. That's free money.
16 Sedonas, $500 bonus cash and 0% for 66 months.
17 Sorentos, $500 bonus cash and 1.9% for 72 months. And every new Kia sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotation.
There's no better time than right now to head to Reading Kia.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, save money, be happy.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee on approval of credit subject to prior sale ends September 5th.
Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, Facebook, YouTube, ReadingKia.com.
Is there anything more relaxing on a warm summer day than your patio? Budget Blinds is locally owned and operated and knows how to make your outdoor space in our area as comfortable as possible. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds staff offers proper installation of patio shades and exterior window coverings, including solar shades, which can help you save on costly energy bills. Budget Blinds Reading Red Bluff also offers a variety of breathable fabrics and exterior window coverings, including window screens. Don't wait any longer. Give your patio or porch an upgrade with stylish, sturdy patio window coverings. Enjoy shades that gently filter passing breezes while perfectly complementing your outdoor theme. You'll relax on your patio or porch knowing you've got the perfect fit and highest quality service.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window covering, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web, budgetblinds.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 20 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. It's 66 degrees out there, going up to 98. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, this portion of the show is brought to you by Properties by Merit and Mary McCurdy. You know, she's passionate about what she does, and that's sell sells homes, and she finds the right homes for her buyers. That's right. She's an expert on anything that's happening around Northern California when it comes to real estate, and you can trust that she's going to be working really, really hard for you. Check out her website at Mary McCurdy. That's Mary, M-A-R-I, McCurdy.com to see many of her exclusive listings, or give her a call, 949-1550. Properties by Merit right here in town. Good people over there. Hey, the 27th annual Reading Ducky Derby, September the 25th in Caldwell Park, just around the corner.
Already time for that. Amazing.
It's 35,000 little ducks hit the water. Summer lasted 20 minutes. There you go. Yeah, that's true. There'll be a Rats to Riches car show. There'll be art in the park, hot rods, rat rods, and exotic cars. Every year, Ducky Derby raises over $150,000 for local youth services. Since its inception, over $4 million has been returned to local communities for youth development programs and drug and alcohol-free activities. We want to thank everybody out there. It's just too many to really thank right here. But they're looking for more sponsorship from local businesses to help support the event. And if you'd like to adopt a duck or sponsor this event, contact Marge Beck at Duck Central. 1910 Market. She's just right upstairs here.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot of, you know, these little muffled quack up there. I think she's keeping them up there. Anyway, it's a great thing to do. The last thing I want to talk about is Big Head Todd in The Monsters, a tribute to Willie Dixon with Mud Morganfield, Billy Branch, and Roddy Baker Brooks. If you like blues, you'd need to be at the Cascade on September 22nd at 7:30 in the evening. They are going to have they're going to be playing some great music there and they've gone back and they rebuilt the Big Head Blues Club project, 100 years of music. And in 2016, they've got a brand new album out there, and with a playlist of songs from Willie Dixon, who's done music and been recorded by Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, and the Rolling Stones. This guy has done it all. All of this.
That's an eclectic.
Oh man, I tell you what, and these guys are going to take you right back. Cascade Theater Performance Series. So give a call over there at 243-8886, or just go over and buy some tickets, or go online and buy tickets.
Well, of course, the British invasion of the 60s was heavily fueled by these guys in England listening to those old blues records on scratchy 78s and stuff, and adapting those riffs over to their stuff. And Mick and the boys made a few bucks off of that deal.
Oh, I hope so. Hey, Chicago didn't set a record. They tied a record. It stood for over a decade on Monday. You want to know what it is?
Oh, boy. Knowing it's Chicago.
Chicago. You know what? They had 9 people fatally shot on Monday.
No,
the most in over a decade for one day. And that doesn't include how many people were just shot. You know, we've come to the point where people talk about gun laws and taking guns away from people and all this. When Chicago, and I hate to keep, trotting this thing back and forth, but they have some of the strictest gun laws in the country, and yet they have more people being killed there. And frankly, Rahm Emanuel has lost control of Chicago. There are places in that town that cops don't go. If they go, they go in groups. The people are afraid, literally afraid to come out of their doors. This one gentleman, 63 years old, watching his 3-year-old granddaughter playing outside, gets shot for no apparent reason. No apparent reason, and it's when you've lost control of the city, and I'm not saying all of the city, but a great deal, a part of the city, then you need to bring in extra help. I don't know if it's extra state police. I don't know if you bring in county sheriffs. If you call a statewide emergency by the governor, and he puts the National Guard down there. If you, he's calling the National Guard on into our neighborhoods. Well, yeah, but don't you think the neighborhoods have a right to be peaceful? If you put a Humvee and several armed, National Guardsmen out there, at least give them a month of peace till school starts. Not that that's going to make any difference, school, but at least it would give a month of curfews and putting people in, hey, you got to be off the street by 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Nobody's sitting on the corners anymore. You guys got to go inside. you know, this kind of thing. And, you know, and it could be, you know, a reasonable curfew, but, and if, oh, no, what about people's rights? Well, here's what it is. People aren't safe there. People are getting killed by the, you know, and shot. Oh, they're gang. Well, they're not all gang related. They're gang, of course they're gang related. I mean, they're gang shooters, probably for the most part, almost every part. But it's innocent people being killed. What's wrong with calling out the National Guard and actually having peace in these neighborhoods? It's not every neighborhood. They're not going to be up on the, you know, in the Lake Forest area or someplace, you know, when there's got, you know, million-dollar houses. Because they, for some reason, have lots of police protection. There's no problems. But get it in places where they need help. That just makes sense to me. 35-acre... Oh, Nick, good morning.
It is a good morning. Hey, Carl, I want to... there's two things I want to talk about on gun control. One is this gal was in her school. She is a teacher, and a gunman got to the school, and they had the alarm go out to shut the door and protect her kids. So they all got down, and she wasn't armed, and she just felt helpless. She listened to the guy walk by. And so this is a quote. In light of the vulnerability and anxiety Marianne felt during the lockdown, we ask her opinion of school systems that have canned food drives with the goal of providing teachers with cans of vegetables they can throw at the gunman should one enter the classroom. She dismissed this as out of hand. She said having a gun gives you the only chance you have. It is interesting to note that in the wake of Sandy Hook, the Obama administration recommended that teachers defend themselves and their students by throwing fire extinguishers or chairs, it would be gunmen.
Well, that was one of the three things they said. One was, you know, you run, hide, or fight. And the last thing they had was, because they're never going to mention guns, is that they fight.
Yeah, but, you know, what I really called about is this one-sided conversation about gun control and how dangerous the United States is. And they take and compare us to countries like Japan, whose culture is nothing compared to ours, or Norway. And, of course, we have all these guns. Those places don't even have guns, and our statistics are way up. But if you take and compare us to like-minded countries like Mexico or Venezuela or some of Colombia, you compare us to them where we do have a war on drugs, we're actually a really safe country. And if you take out a half a dozen cities, Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, we're down to just about zero. We are not being represented. Us people in the United States were being lied to.
Well, no, that's true. And it's not to say that there aren't. And then when you take out all these people are killed by homicides, you know, some of them are suicides. You know, I think something like 40% are suicides. And you're right. If you take out major metropolitan areas, these four or five that you just mentioned, the death rate goes way, way down. And there's lots of guns in this country. And almost, you know, like probably 99% of them sit in the safe or sit in the closet locked up. And they don't walk out and they don't shoot anybody. Mine have not shot anybody in, gosh, years now, ever since we've been back. So, I mean, you're right, Nick. We are not getting the true story. And, you know, and people are making this big thing about what Trump said. Again, it's anything the media can pin on it. You know, he could say, you know, I'm all for Mother Teresa, and somebody would come out and say that he doesn't like nuns.
That's absolutely, and that's
a sad thing, but that's what's going on. So people like you and other people have got to continue to talk to your friends and continue to talk to people in states where that it's a swing state and just say, hey, look, do you really want to have a judge on the Supreme Court that doesn't believe you have the right to own a gun unless you're part of an organized militia? Like, I mean, that means the National Guard.
You know, one of the ways that we can talk to people is through our local media, like the comments on Redding.com. And it's getting really hard to talk through that because they actually erase my comments if they don't like them. They've done that a half a dozen times. And now they've banished me from the website for doing exactly what their liberal friends do. For instance, Stephen Towers on the website was making a statement, and he used the word, he put an N with three stars, G-E-R-S. You can figure out what word he was using. Another word he just used the day before yesterday, he put S, star, star, T. Well, you can figure out what word that is. He went as far as to call me a dick. He says, Dick Gardner. And I emailed Carol Ferguson. I said, I hope she knows what that is. But, you know, she banished me off the website for referring to a gal that called me a liar. She told me I was a bigger liar than Hillary Clinton because I refuted her on Trump's deferments for the draft. And I put that in there, and I say, what say you? And I put a quotation mark, a capital C, another quotation mark, space word, Kelly. And she banished me for that, and I just don't see what's so offensive about the word chicken shit. You know?
Hey. And with that?
And with that one, Nick, you're off the air. We don't say that word.
We won't be taking calls from Nick.
Not right away. So, Nick, that's why you get banned, because you say, because you curse on my
radio. You don't have a filter.
You curse on my radio show. You can't say that. You know you can't say that.
Let me
address this. You know, we provide a forum here for people to say almost anything you want, as long as it's done in a manner that you're not calling people names or cursing. You know, the FCC's got regulations, but I also have our standards here. I don't want to hear people cursing on the radio. I mean, you can walk down the street and hear 15-year-old girl saying, you know, using words that you wouldn't have used in the Marine Corps 10 years ago. But I am not going to have that happen. I don't need to have that. And if that's the kind of things you're doing on the paper, I don't blame Carol, because you have no right to say that. And you know you're not. You know you don't use those words. And we gave you a lot of leeway up to then to give you your point of it, but then you curse. So, hey, if you're talking to me one on one, that's fine, but not on the show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
What is your true dream vacation? Let us help you define it. At Wind River Resort and Casino, play our Pick Your Paradise Swipe to Win promotion. Win free slot play, cash prizes, or a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Double entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Drawings Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes or a dream vacation. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Picture yourself in your paradise. Whether you like sandy beaches or city skylines, rest assured that we have the vacation destination that you desire. This is your opportunity to pick your paradise that you've always dreamed of. Final drawing Wednesday, August 31st, where you could win a dream vacation and $1,000 cash. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. Some restrictions may apply. For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Vacations are better at the river.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBot. Linda is still up in the tenant area on the Antelope Creek Ranch up there with the girls. I think they're sightseeing, fly fishing, and all those things. 25 minutes until the hour of 8 right here at KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers, 2620 Larkspur Lane. And I tell you what, if you're looking for help to help your loved ones in the house, then you have got the person with Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. She started this business 10 years ago. She's been Businesswoman of the Year and the Business of the Year here in Redding before. And the reason is she takes great care of her clients. Whether it's a short period of time or extended care in the home, Sharon Clark is the one that you want to go to. All of her people are well-trained. They're all insured, bonded, background checks, everything. Give her a call, 226-8350. Okay. Hey, you know what? Every so often, you just really, you know, I mean, I enjoy everything I do every day. But when I have days like this, I'm really kind of thankful that we started this radio station. Because I'm here with Dorothy Huff. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine today.
Well, I'm glad that you're fine today. Dorothy is a veteran of World War II.
Well, I was 11 when 11. The war started.
Okay, I'm sorry. She was a...
So I'm not a vet.
Not a vet. But, she
but
was
I'm a POW.
A POW, okay. I'm sorry. And I knew that. I don't know why I said that. She's a. You're a veteran of the war, but not in the armed forces.
That's right.
There you go. Now, tell us a little bit about you. Because you were in the Philippines when all this happened.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Yes. We were on the island of Mindanao. You know, the islands out there, there's about 700 of them, so forth. This is one of the, I would say, the second largest Luzon. And anyhow, we were down on this island when the war broke. And the military there told us that we should go inland because we were right on the coast. And so to take as much food and that type of thing because the war would be over in 3 months. So that's what we did. We went inland. And it was while we were in there, we were there for about 6 months, when the leaflets were, scattered around the Japanese, said that if we find you after a certain date, we're going to shoot you. But if you want to surrender now, do that. So that's what we had to do.
Okay. And this is your family?
Yes. There were three of us. I was the youngest. I was 11.
Okay.
And 14 when we were rescued.
Okay, now your parents were there?
They were missionaries.
Missionaries, mm-hmm. Okay, and had they been in the Philippines a long time?
My dad and mom originally went out there before they had kids.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you'd be out there for about 5 years and then come back for 1 year as a furlough.
Uh-huh.
And this was about the time that we were getting ready to come back to the States when it all happened.
Oh, looking forward to coming back to the States,
yes.
But World War II intervention.
My mom just had tears in her eyes when she heard that we were so far away from the United States, and here's war.
Right.
And I will say this, that our relatives here, mainly a lot of them were up in Portland area, Oregon. They never knew whether we were alive or where we were all that time.
For the whole time?
For the whole time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That must have been a lot of stress on them, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so the Japanese dropped the leaflets everywhere.
Yes.
And, of course, at that point, too, most of the American, all the American forces were... were also surrendering to the Japanese.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Along that time.
Now, this has nothing to do with Bataan.
No, I understand that. But just the American forces
were
being overrun and they're and been trapped by the Japanese. So a lot of them were, you know, had also surrendered.
Yes.
So now, so your group turned themselves in.
Yes, there on the island of Mindanao, about 200 of us Americans, they gathered us all and took us down to the town of Davao.
Now, you all were all civilians. Is this correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The 200 of
yes.
You.
Okay. And yeah, the army was separate.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And we were put in this cabaret that was called Happy Life Blues. We were there for about, I would say, a year.
In a cabaret?
In the cabaret. Now, our quarters, they gave us 11 by 14, a chalk line. No curtains, no
okay.
nothing, you know.
Right.
But that's where we stayed. Now, they decided that
so,
we should...
So, 11 foot by 14 foot was for your family of
yes,
four.
Yes, our quarters.
And that was your quarters, but there was no... I mean, it was just out on the ground, so everybody
well,
like
was
like a large
room. It wasn't on the ground. It was in the building.
It was marked on the ground of the floor, I should say.
Yes,
the floor.
On the floor.
And mm-hmm. there was a bunch of other people all living in these 11 by 14.
Over 200 of us.
No curtains, no walls, anything.
Yep.
Just everybody was just friendly with each other.
That's right. You have to
you
be.
You had to be.
So then they decided to take us up to Luzon.
Uh-huh.
And from the Mindanao, we went all the way up to Luzon. And up there in Manila is what they call Santa Tomas. It was university.
Okay.
And there were over 4,000. Now, I will say that trip going from Mindanao up there 10 days mm-hmm. in the hold of a ship.
Okay, so you're in the hold of a ship.
It was
then.
A cargo ship.
Wow.
They put in planks there. And you were right side by side. You could either lie down or sit up. And you knew when the rats were coming because people would start screaming. My folks got typhus fever, almost died because of that. Well, we got up to Santa.
You could hear the rats coming. So if you were like in the middle, you could hear people one end or the other start screaming.
That's right.
Because here come the rats.
That's right.
Bob. Okay, I'm not going to complain anymore about, look, the air conditioner's off in the other room.
Pretty much.
You better
yeah,
not.
Pretty much, yeah. I imagine it was, you know, because I've read about that. I mean, I have not been in that type of situation, but I've read about the situation where people were being on holds of ships like this, prisoners. And that it's just, the sanitation was almost non-existent.
Absolutely.
And the food was horrible.
And hardly any water.
And hardly any water, right.
Yeah, and you would have thought that they could have given us, you know, the seawater at least.
To wash everything down and all that, right?
Oh, scarcity. Water was scarce.
And here we have these young men on university campuses who have to go to their safe zone because somebody talks mean to them.
I know. Anyway, okay. I'm talking, by the way, to Dorothy Huff, who is from right here in town. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. But she's talking about her experiences during World War II in the Philippines, where she and her parents were missionaries, and they were captured at the beginning of World War II, of course, when Philippines fell, she, her mother and father, and her sister.
And brother.
Okay, so there's
five of us.
Yes. Five of them. They were captured, and then her experiences living, putting everybody into 11 by 14 foot space. That was her living space inside a cabaret in Mindanao, and then moving them on a hold of a ship, little food, no sanitation, or little sanitation, for 10 days up the coast to Luzon.
Up to Manila.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me take a quick break here.
Surely.
And I don't want to take a break, really, but I have to. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction and Ted Leidy. This is what Ted does for a living. He's got a whole stable of, and I guess I could use the word stable, of NRA instructors that have that he has trained and has some of the best, if not the best, concealed carry training in Northern California. And if it's Northern California, it's anywhere in California. Give him a call at 530-999-1822. He's got classes going all the time. Or check out readingccw.com for Northern Firearms Instruction. I'll be right back with Dorothy Huff, who has got just a wonderful story and is in part of a book that was just published last year called Rescue at Los Baños. And we'll be right back.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy?
Hi, this is
Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach of many children. Artwood and Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us Saturday, August 27th at 10 a.m. for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Big League Dream Sports Park, sponsored in part by Tugwell Roofing. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, raffle prizes, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We're having just a great interview here. It's, oh, by the way, 66 degrees, going up to 98 today. I'm sure it's closer to, it's going to be hitting 70 before we get out of here. We're having a great interview today with Dorothy Huff, who was a 11-year-old girl in the Philippines when World War II started. Her family was taken by the Japanese, her father, mother, sister, and brother. They were captured. In the first year, they spent in a building where they had very little room, but it was habitable. And then in Mindanao, and then they were put on a ship for 10 days, which was a pretty horrible experience, and then went up to Luzon, where they went to the college or the University of?
Santa Tomas.
Santa Tomas. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now the war's going on.
Yes.
And how were things then?
At Santa Tomas, there were over 4,000 Americans.
Uh-huh.
And the men were in one building and the women in another. And my dad found out that the Japanese had taken some of our American men, uh-huh, taken them out to Los Baños, uh-huh, to build some housing out there, little shacks, anyhow, uh-huh, and that families could be together. And so that's where we moved after 3 months of being in Santa Tomas.
Uh-huh.
We went out to Los Baños. Now, I want to tell you, there's a Los Baños, California.
Uh-huh. But and probably not the same.
It's not
the same. Okay. So your father went out, got, so you,
yes,
get the family out there, so
yes,
together, so you were building houses.
Yes.
All right. Now, how long, and I don't mean to skip over this, but the book is called Rescue at Los Baños. So you were there for how long?
Well, altogether, it was, I would say, maybe another 2 years.
Okay, at Los Baños.
And if you ever see pictures of our rescue, you see some of them that look like they had little flesh. And it's because some of the missionaries that were there in Manila were left on their compound. And the last 8 months, they brought them up and put them in another section where they would not allow us to go back and forth. But then they finally opened up the gates and we could communicate back and forth.
Right.
And it was up there. It was in Los Baños where they began to cut back on our food and all this sort of thing.
They were losing the war at that point. And
people were dying every day of starvation.
Oh my gosh.
And some of them were trying to escape. And as they would try to escape, they were shot. And I can remember one fella, he was in, they had two, what should I say, two fences. And he was in between and got shot. And our men tried to get him, but they would not give him up. And so then they shot him. So, you know, things like that just really hurt you.
So you remember this, so you were cutting way back on the food. People were trying to escape being killed.
Yes.
And then something happened.
Well, we had a week of freedom.
Oh, okay. So they kind of, after the Americans landed back in the Philippines?
The Americans, yes. And they had gotten into Manila, which was 50 miles away from Los Baños. And we knew that things were going on because we could hear the explosions and...
I see planes flying over and all that.
Oh, yes. Now, the Japanese had put machine guns up above us in the mountains, and the Americans strafed that. And I could understand why, because we had heard that the Japanese planned to get rid of us. And that was rumored, you know.
Well, they were doing that in some of the other, on the prisoner of war camps. They were killing people.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But it wasn't until I read this book where our Americans had gotten over to Japan and they found the orders that the Japanese were given. Can I read it?
Sure.
I just couldn't believe this. It says, whether they are, in other words, internees or military, whether they are destroyed individually or in groups with mass bombing, poison, decapitation, dispose of them as the situation dictates. It is the aim not to allow the escape of a single one to annihilate them all and not to leave any trace. Now, to see that in writing, it made me say, we had a God.
Mm-hmm.
We had a God that was looking out over us.
Okay. And I've seen things like that before where it was up to the commander usually. I mean, and some of them would kill. They'd kill everybody around them. Okay, so then the Army knew that you guys were there, or you people were there, right?
Brigadier General Mueller.
Mueller, who, by the way, is still alive?
Oh, my, yes. He's going to be 100.
He's going to be 100 years old.
In April.
And Brigadier General Mueller.
And he's the one that got all the military information. And this Bruce Henderson, the author, sent all this to him to be sure that everything was correct. And I have been in touch with him since 95 because we had a get-together down at Los Baños, California, and that's where I met him. And bless his heart, you know, he was the G2 man that got all the information together to rescue us. And when I call him, I say, General Mueller, oh, Dorothy, how he can remember at that age.
Well, he's keeping active there.
Oh, yes. And I even have a letter. He still writes good, just like I've known him back in 95.
He's got better penmanship than you and I, Bob. the general who's 101. Okay, now, so, Dorothy, what did it feel like when, the Japanese kind of left you for like a week, you said.
Yes.
They just kind of like pulled back, and then here come the Americans.
There was a fake landing, apparently.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And all of a sudden, here they're gone. Okay?
Right.
And the Filipinos brought in. This is about a month before we were rescued. Mm-hmm. And it was providential because we did get some extra food. Filipinos brought in bananas and things like this that we could eat. We were only on two meals a day, and the meals that we were given was just a little bit of rice, uh-huh. and it had worms in it. Even they found nails in them. You'd go like this to get the worms out of your... But that week, it was providential, as I say, because it built us up a little bit to last for mm-hmm. the last month.
Right.
When they came back, you know what they did? They went and gave us rations that were with the husks on the rice. So individually, we had to take that rice and take boards uh-huh. and try to get the husk off so that we could try to cook it.
Okay. And now, so the Japanese left for a week, then they came back.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
I didn't understand
they
that
were
part.
Upset.
Oh, yeah, because because the Americans had landed and they
and the
were
Americans
coming out.
Went down into their barracks and got as much food as they could. And they were upset about that, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So now comes the rescue.
Yep.
You know, we've got a few minutes left. So the rescue comes up. The American forces that have pushed the Japanese back, or do the Japanese leave?
The only way they could come and get to us, and that is to go across the lake.
Okay.
The Japanese were up in the mountains, 10,000 of them. They uh-huh. couldn't come the road wave, so they had to go across.
All right.
They had 54 Amtraks with military on them coming mm-hmm. over, and they had 9 planes with the paratroopers.
Oh.
And now this, his name was John Ringler. Excuse me, I couldn't even think. And he's the one that shoved something out of the plane to see if the Japanese were going to shoot. And then he jumped 400 feet. It's in the book.
Is that a parachute?
Parachute.
Oh, with a parachute.
400, yes.
They don't open up usually that fast.
Now, they had about 23 reconnaissance men
uh-huh.
that came 3 days before, and they
right.
were around.
Uh-huh.
And they were ready to get rid of the guards that were on duty.
Right.
And so all was at clockwork. Brigadier General Mueller had gotten information from one of our escapees. He had, Mills was his name, he had a photographic mind, and he wrote down where all the sick were and said that at 7 o'clock in the morning is when the Japanese would have us come out and line up for roll call. And then they would stack their guns like this, and a few sentry people were out there. And then that's what they decided at 7 o'clock, that's when they were going to come. And that's what happened. Clockwork.
Okay, I've only got a couple more minutes here. I wish that we had another 30 minutes here. But, okay, so they came through. They rescued you all.
Yes.
They fed you. You got transported back then to the United States.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Dorothy, I mean, we just talked during the break, and you said, you know what, you know how you work for everything, how you've picked prunes, you know, because you all lost everything when they
everything came back in army clothes.
Came back in mm-hmm. army clothes. You've picked mm-hmm. tomatoes. You've sorted tomatoes. You've done all these things
yes.
in your life.
Yes.
You've married your husband here, a veteran, a Navy veteran. And how long have you lived in Redding now?
We've lived here about 16 years, somewhere around there.
16 years.
But I want to say one thing.
Sure.
One day at a time is what we learned. It got to 1 minute at a time. And every day we thank God that we were alive. And you have to trust in someone. And my folks would say, well, if we have a work yet to do, that God would spare our lives. And Mueller and everybody, even MacArthur, said God was with us. It's considered the greatest, the most daring, successful mission in military history.
And she's getting this from the books and all this.
Yes.
Where they went in and they rescued. How many were you?
4,000. 2,147 of us, and not one of us got killed. The servicemen were said that if they don't get us out in 2 hours, that maybe 50 or 20, 75% of them would be destroyed.
Wow.
But it took two loads across the lake to get us out. But people don't hear about it. It's because...
It's just 1 minute. Okay.
Because Iwo Jima, remember those three guys?
Right, yeah.
That took precedence. That was the...
But that was happening at the
same
time.
That was on the same day. And so by the time we got two loads over, you know, what is that? No news.
You know what? I'm here with Dorothy Huff. Thank you so much for being with us, Dorothy. And we're going to come back. We're going to bring you back. Can you can you come back again here in a while?
No. I've said enough.
No, you haven't. Because I want to talk about what happened after that. And, you know, about your life after that. We can do this some more.
Oh, you don't need to know that.
Dorothy Huff, I love her. She's 85 years young, and what a great story. And the book is Assault Rescue at Los Baños by Bruce Henderson. Hey, we'll be right back after the news with Julie Winter talking about what she wants to do if she's elected.
KCNR, Shasta Reddick.
Getting things right. Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake.
Policing issues have taken on a new urgency in the national discussion in light of the tragic shootings in recent weeks, as well as the developments in our own city.
Stephanie Rawlings-Blake's comments come following the release of a report that finds the city's police routinely discriminate against blacks. Donald Trump blaming media bias for the uproar over his latest comments about the Second Amendment.
Trump is insisting he never advocated violence against Hillary Clinton when he suggested that maybe there is something Second Amendment people could do if Clinton revokes the right to gun ownership. He says he was talking about the political power of the gun lobby, not violence. Trump told Fox News there can be no other interpretation. Even so, Democrats piled on, and weary Republicans were left to explain another controversy.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Michael Phelps has made up for one of the few losses of his Olympic career by capturing the 200-meter butterfly last night in Rio.
That event was kind of like my bread and butter.
And hence he was deeply disappointed when 4 years ago he was forced to settle for the silver medal in that event. Katie Ledecky captured more gold last night in the 200-meter women's freestyle.
The 200-meter is a much more stressful race than the 400 and the 800, and it always just feels good when it's over.
And another victory for the U.S. women's gymnastics team, winning gold for the second consecutive Olympic Games, gymnast Allie Reisman.
It's very exciting. It doesn't feel real at all, but we've all been working so hard, and we've been really consistent in training, so I'm happy that we were able to handle the pressure and do it tonight.
Olympic officials in Rio say military police have stepped up security there after a bus carrying journalists had two windows broken after being struck by what officials called unknown projectiles. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been struggling right now. It is up by just about 20 points. More from townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health insurance company and other factors not available in all states.
Amtrak has started settling lawsuits with the victims of last year's deadly derailment in Philadelphia. Correspondent Jeremy House has more.
Lawyers in the process say a strict confidentiality provision prevents them and their clients from talking about how much money they've received. However, court records show the railroad reached the first settlements last week. It quietly resolved cases brought by two women who suffered head and other injuries in the May 2015 wreck. Amtrak has taken responsibility for the crash, which killed eight people and left more than 200 injured. It won't oppose claims for compensatory damages like medical expenses. However, the pool for potential payouts is capped under federal law at $295 million. Jeremy House reporting.
Delta Airlines expects some 90 more flight cancellations globally before operations return to normal later today. The airline has had to cancel more than 1,700 flights since Monday when a power outage at its base in Atlanta caused a global computer meltdown. More from townhall.com. Business owners in Miami's Wynwood Arts District say they've been losing money since local Zika infections were announced, and they're asking government officials for help.
The Miami Herald says members of the Wynwood Business Improvement District are urging local, state, and federal officials to speed up mosquito eradication. They also want recovery funds for retailers, gallery owners, and other business people who say visitors have stopped coming in. Health officials say transmission of the mosquito-borne virus has been limited to an area less than 1 square mile just north of downtown Miami.
That is correspondent Rich Thomason reporting. U.S. employers advertised more openings and hired more people in the month of June, according to the Labor Department's latest figures. It came out today. The number of job openings rose a modest 2% to 5.6 million in June. That was up from 5.5 million in the month of May. More on these stories to be found at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day. It's Wednesday, and when it said, hey, Julie, Julie looks up and goes, am I in this?
My Julie?
Are you talking to me? Hey, welcome back to KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio. It's 8:05 in the morning right here at KCNR. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We have 100 phone lines waiting for you to call on. We stream live at KCNR1460.com. I may have exaggerated the number of phone lines we have. But Bad Bob is right here with the weather.
Your hump day weather today, Carl, is updating on the screen at the moment. High today of 97 degrees, overnight low of 65. It'll move up into the triple digits tomorrow with a high 103. 104 on Friday, 105 on Saturday, back down to 101 on Sunday. No rain in sight for the next 10 days. Shasta Lake, about 42 feet from the top. This brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Where it's cooler to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Discounts for seniors and veterans, veteran-owned business, 365-3793. Okay, you've been following our lack of air conditioning for the last 10 days and how Alliance Heating and Air leaped in there and into the fight. Well, yesterday, all the equipment showed up over the weekend, and yesterday, Alliance Heating and Air put a full-court press on getting air conditioning back in the Bott household. Now, I'm not saying Linda went up to Antelope Creek because of the heat in the house, which was well over 90 degrees. However, she would call me and say, hey, I'm having to sleep under, you know, maximum covers and wear flannel pajamas because it's really cold up there. As I was laying there sweating with the dog laying next to me, you know, panting. So I was, you know, but Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, came in first with two guys, then three, and then Martin shows up. They are taking things from out underneath my house. Remember, the house has been built in 1941, and a lot of systems were there. They were taking stuff out. They didn't even know what it was. And one of it looked like this huge radiator. And they said the air was being pumped through there. And I said, why? And they said, we have no idea. You know, but it's gone now. And so they're putting in new air ducts, and they clicked it on last night at 7 p.m. I mean, they were there for like 11 hours. At 7 p.m. last night, it came on. The amount of air coming out of our vents before was, you know, it was like trickly. It's coming out so far, so fast, so cold that Elk Killer got caught in the stream and was pushed all the way across the room, then lifted 3 inches off the deck. That's how much air.
Experiment.
It's the physics moved it over and up, and it's like in a little, yeah, the little, you know, the little legs are just moving like that, you know, until it moves out of the current, and then it gently drops to the ground, and then that's how much cold air is coming out of that place. It was there. I can tell you, I can't say enough about Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. All right. Hey, Julie Winter walked into this one. First of all, she has to follow Dorothy Huff, who I fell immediately in love with and would take her out on a date, except her husband probably beat me up, a prisoner during World War II. And I mean, and she comes out talking about, you know what, after the war, we had nothing. Nothing. She said, my brother put himself through medical school, my sister in nursing, and I was in nursing on weekends. We would go out and clean houses to get money. How hard they worked after that and to make something of themselves, and how much hard work means and their faith in God.
Truly the greatest generation.
Oh, my gosh. You know, then you realize how they rebuilt the world. And then I turn to Julie and say, Julie, so how hard can it be to rebuild Reading?
Exactly.
They rebuilt the world.
They rebuilt the world. We can certainly rebuild our city. That's a fabulous point, Carl.
There you go. So yeah. I'm going to start it off and let you run with that one. How do we rebuild what we've got? I mean, you know, the old Obama, this is the greatest country in the world. We just need to change it. We've got problems here in River City,
mm-hmm.
and we need to change some things.
We do. And the most important thing that I think we need to keep in front of us, and I keep reminding people, is that we need a vision of what we want to become. You know, that we have lots of problems in our community, and it's so easy to get sucked into talking about homelessness. Man, I'm out precinct walking right now. When I knock on doors, that's the number one issue people want to talk about. But, you know, we could solve that. We could solve homelessness, but still our city would be in trouble because of the underlying core problems that are causing that. So for me, it's really looking at what do we want our city to look like in 10 years and thinking this as a region. We have such assets in our natural beauty, the crown jewel of our city, the riverfront, and being able to develop that wisely and be able to brand and market our city and attract the skilled workers, the tech companies and other advanced manufacturing companies to move here or to grow here. I've been reading a fascinating book on where the jobs are, and that's quite interesting. And over 90% of all jobs are being created in companies that are less than 5 years old. So that means you need to think about that. The all new job growth, almost all of it is.
Yeah, I've heard of the
less than 5 years old.
So the name of this book is?
It's called Where the Jobs Are.
Where the Jobs Are.
Where the Jobs Are.
Because there's that other one that I always recommend for politicians, The Coming Jobs War.
Yeah, by Clifton. That's also a fabulous book, and he makes the statement: cities who don't make jobs their number one priority
put
their cities at risk.
It is.
And yeah.
And you used Detroit. You used all these other cities.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you used the cities that did put jobs as a priority.
Right.
Not that government.
The government doesn't create jobs.
Doesn't create jobs.
No, no, no.
But oh my gosh, they can make it easier.
Yeah, they can. They're the soil. The people are the seed that creates jobs. Government's the soil the seed grows in. So that's.
So you didn't build those jobs. The government did. That's not what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that, yeah, you know, it's the soil. It provides nutrition, structure, infrastructure. And so it can make it easier for the seed to grow or not. And so it's people, it's ideas, the companies. That's what produces jobs. And we need to locate the companies and people that are producing jobs in our community right here. And where are they headed? And how do we create a workforce that can stream into that? That's just a really, really critical piece.
Well, you know, you said, you know, how we developed the riverfront. Yesterday we had Ken Murray on. And Ken's been around mm-hmm. a long time. I don't know if you had a chance, opportunity to listen to him.
He's a great guy. He's got a lot of history in the community.
Well, he does. But he also said to me that the riverfront's not going to be developed because the Kutras family is not going to have it happen. And I said, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
But I've had other people, not Ken Murray, tell me is that the money is, they needed somebody that's going to develop it that's got a track record. And the Kutras family, I guess, does not, at least this generation, mm-hmm. does not have the track record mm-hmm. of being able to do that. Now, what can the city do to try, you know, I mean, this is a gem. You go up to Grants Pass.
Oh.
You go up to Grants Pass, and they don't have anything like we have. Yet you look at that city and the way that river's been used, and they're called, you know, the best river city, you know, in America, which I think anybody could say that. But we've got the potential here. So what exactly can the city do to get that developed?
Yeah, it's going to be a three-way partnership because the city is going to be, you know, providing sort of the structure, the rules, so to speak. You need a downtown strategic plan and, you know, where things can be. And certainly the city can make it easier for development to happen there. The city doesn't have the money to put in and develop hotels.
And they should not.
You're exactly correct. But they can make it easier or harder, certainly. And we need to update our riverfront specific plan. It's quite old. It's from the 90s. And so that, because the thing is those leases that are being held by
McConnell
primarily go back to the Kuchar's family in 2020. They've been held in long-term leases, so there haven't been much to be able to do down there because of that. But I actually met with Chris Kuchar's a few months ago. He's very interested in developing that.
Okay.
So that's what he, from the horse's mouth, he told me he is ready and he wants to be able to work on that in 2020. And he's willing to work with investors, including, he said he's more than willing to work with the city. He's willing to work with McConnell, any other investor groups that would be able to come in and really make a themed kind of a area that would be great for the community. They have shops, they have restaurants, riverfront access that would connect up with Turtle Bay, kind of in it, so that whole area is kind of one unit.
So you talked to Chris Kuchar?
I did.
Well, that's interesting. I want to take a break here. I have to. And I'm here with Julie Winter, who is running for a city council. And we're going to talk a little bit about Julie when she comes back. You know, she's coming out swinging here in the first round. But let's talk a little bit about her background and then some other things. We've got other questions on unfunded liabilities, salaries, retirements, all these kind of things we want to talk about. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club. This is where we go. This is where we train for the Spartan race. This is where Linda gets into that saltwater pool and works out with no wear and tear on ligaments and tendons. But she has a great workout there. They have every type of machine you can think of and lots of them. And there's always a spot to be to work out. They've got not only all the machines for lifting weights, but free weights. Great locker room, free towel service, and, of course, Boheme Spa is in there. So you can get that facial after you've had that hard workout.
Very nice people, too.
Very nice people there. Bob works out there, too. And, Bob, you know, you're getting to be – you're just almost a shadow of your former self here, buddy. Hey, give them a call at 768-1205 or just stop by on the corner of Eureka and Court Street right there. We'll be right back after these messages with Julie Winter.
On Saturday, September 10th, bring your family to the fair, the annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair.
Hi, my name is Chad David here at Orchard Nutrition Center. We've been holding our annual health fair for several years now. Our goal is to show the community what's out there for organic, GMO-free, natural, show what vendors are actually local to Shasta County, Trinity County.
You'll have an opportunity to sample some of the Orchard Nutrition Center products and talk directly to vendors. Enjoy great food from the barbecue, including chicken and sausage from Smart Chicken, beef from Hat Creek Grown, and the always delicious Orchard Pizza. Entertainment from blues guitar singer Jimmy Limo, and plenty of fun for the kids, including a reptile party, raffles, and much more. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, September 10th, at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. For more information, visit them on Facebook or online at orchardnutrition.com. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Reading Kia's construction sale continues at 380 East Cypress Avenue in Reading with a great deal waiting for you.
The 2016 Kia Soul is the highest ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality.
For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
And now with $750 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months.
All 16 14s and Optimus are priced to move with $1,000 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months. That's free money.
16 Sedonas, $500 bonus cash and 0% for 66 months.
17 Sorentos, $500 bonus cash and 1.9% for 72 months. And every new Kia sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotation.
There's no better time than right now to head to Reading Kia.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, save money, be happy.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee on approval of credit subject to prior sale ends September 5th.
Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, Facebook, YouTube, ReadingKia.com.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Redding's Electric Utility. Did you know dirty air filters can increase your monthly electricity cost? A dirty air filter will restrict airflow and make your AC work harder. Changing your filters monthly allows your equipment to operate more efficiently, saving you energy and money. And it may increase the life of your unit. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you. Powerful together.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Linda Bott. Linda is up in the Highlands. Sleeping under covers at night. Well, I just got the air conditioning turned back on, so she'll probably be back in a day or two. After I get the heat, it doesn't automatically, even as good as that air conditioning is, it doesn't automatically go from 93 down to 78, or 80 is where I set it. But she should be back. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Jeff Worson, Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business that guarantees his work, whether it's a little bitty chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff can fix it. He guarantees it. If anything happens after that, you just bring it back to the shop, and he'll fix it right there. Not that he's ever had to. I've had a crack in my windshield 12 inches long. He fixed 8 years ago. And can't even see it. This is how good he is. Give him a call, 241-8373, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. I'm here with Julie Winter, and she's running for Reading City Council this November. And we talked about the development of the riverfront. And you're the first one I've had on here that's actually talked to the person that owns it, which is Kutras. And you're telling me that he wants to build there. He wants to make this into a destination place.
He does. He really has a heart to develop the property. Obviously, those properties have been held in long-term leases, but they go back to Chris and Demi in 2020. And so the city needs to step up their game and really update their riverfront specific plan and be looking at what we can realistically do down there. And I want us to be thinking outside the box. And just because somebody said we can't do this because of floodplains, I really want that looked at. I think there's tremendous potential. If you think of what other cities have done with mediocre waterways, oh, my gosh.
San Antonio, which has millions come down to visit their their waterway there. It's a canal. It's a canal. It used to be that had sewage going through it, and they've made it into a multi-million-dollar business.
That's using your assets.
There you go.
That's using your assets. Yep. And that could change everything in our city. And people think, oh, well, it's just a riverfront. It's just shops. Tourism doesn't provide that great of jobs. But it's way bigger than that. You get people to stop. It changes the story of our city. They stop and stay and spend vacation in Reading. And the word gets out. You can brand and market that. And then you can attract the skilled workers, which is the biggest barrier to job growth. So it has this ripple effect throughout the entire community.
I think one of the things that I've seen is that for the younger workers, they need something that they can do that's just the lake or the mountain biking. They want things that attract them. You know, they want the nice restaurants. They want the walkways. They want the good schools and, of course, the jobs. So now the city, though, continues to throw obstacles at people. I hear things all the time, and they continue to charge outrageous permits.
We need to look at that.
We have engineers looking at permits, structural engineers looking at permits. We're the only city, Sacramento doesn't do that, mm-hmm. that seems to keep sending back permits and holding them for months. One of them, the new guy, at least mm-hmm. he's stepping into mm-hmm. it. When he heard one reason they were holding back a permit for 8 months, he said, "We'll give it to you today."
Yeah.
Because of what's going on in that office. Brent Weaver came in promising all of this stuff that was going to happen.
Right.
There's been no changes.
So, I think there are some changes within that building department. I have been meeting and talking to people who've interacted with building department in the last few months. If you talked a year ago, it would be exactly what you're describing. But in the last few months, it's changing. And so you're talking about changing culture from the top. Carl, it comes from the top. You have to have leadership from the top that says, we're going to make jobs our number one priority. We want your department to be pro-business friendly. That means, you know, everybody needs to come on board. And if you can't do that, then maybe you need to work somewhere else.
There needs to be three of you that says that.
So, okay, well, I'm saying it now.
No, but I mean, there needs to be three of you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Three out of five.
Yeah.
I mean, it always
yeah.
comes back to
yeah.
this. It's got to be three people that say that. And we've heard this before. And I'm yeah. not saying that you don't want to, because I know you do. Because, Julie, you know, you push hard to do this thing. You've got to be able to build consensus.
You have to be able to build consensus. And I have a good relationship with several of the council members, and I believe that we will be able to do this. They understand the importance of jobs. I just don't. There's just been so many things pulling because of public safety, homelessness. It's hard to get your attention on this key. But this is the key. Like, this is foundational. This is what provides funding so that you can provide money for infrastructure. I've been out on, oh my goodness, city tours over the last 2 months. I was out on streets just a couple days ago getting a tour of our streets. And that was an eye-opener. 10 employees in the streets department. 10. And we have 400 miles of streets, curbs, sidewalks, crosswalks, signage. So if you average that out, that's one employee for 40 miles of roadway. There's not enough staff. There's not enough funding. We get $150,000 a year to repair sidewalks. You know, that's what, one sidewalk on a street? It's just not enough funding. So you need funding, you need jobs. It comes back to that. Everything we want, we need jobs. Good jobs. For our citizens. That's what provides a resource into the general fund. And that means that you make jobs your priority throughout the city. Everything needs to kind of be looked through that lens.
Let's talk. We go into more jobs and, of course, would raise. Because right now the tax revenue is stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're talking about raising, about putting a tax on the people for public safety, and at the same time putting an amendment there or initiative that says all of it has to be spent on public safety.
Safety.
Well, it's
yes.
also for homelessness, I think. No, mental health, not homelessness, but mental health and jailing. The committee that's overseeing it is just an advisory committee that's looking at the money. They have no power. And they can be, in fact, they could be, y'all could do away with them with one vote. What's your status? What's your status on, or what's your thoughts on this committee?
Well,
the oversight committee.
The oversight committee. I think those are qualified people that are on the committee. I would have liked to have, I'll just be honest, I'll say it up here. I would have liked to have seen a more of a watchdog person on the committee. Somebody like Mary Machado would have been a great person on that committee. However,
but that's a good point, because on that committee are three people, one of whom is now working for the county, and two were former mm-hmm. county employees. Mm-hmm. I understand the deputy sheriff's a really great guy. And then there's a businessman on it. But then there's also another businessman that's linked because he was his campaign manager for Brent Weaver. I mean, my question was, they all seem like good mm-hmm. people, but they're tied to the county, they're tied to the government, or they're tied to an individual in almost every case. Isn't there other people out there, like you just said? Aren't there five other people in the city that don't have ties to the city and the county or the individual city council person?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have the judge on there, which the retired judge, Tracy Neal with probation, who those are people from the county. But they're going to be wanting to make sure that money is spent on public safety, because that's going to be very, very critical to them. I don't see anybody who would on that committee who would want the money spent on something else. I know that Ryan Denham is on that committee, and they are very much affected by vandalism at their business, and so they're really intent on the money.
I'm not saying the people aren't
good people.
Not at all. Please don't misunderstand. It just seems to me is that we could have people with no ties to anybody that could give that total thing about we need to spend money. Because there's a lot of people out there that says if you spend a cent mm-hmm. for anything not public safety, there should be a recall election.
Yeah, and I would be fine with that. Also, these people are serving terms. They're not on that for 10 years. And so they're serving, some are two, some are four. And so there'll be an opportunity to put other people on the committee over the years. And I would love to have people who are independent and who have that watchdog mentality.
Yeah.
And they're really serving, putting the community at mind. Although I think that the people on that committee are committee are doing so. Certainly, as a city council person, I'll be looking at that, and I want to make sure that that money, every penny of it, is spent as the voters intended, and that's on public safety. And public safety and economic development are linked. So for as I'm talking about jobs, you've got to have public safety for businesses to feel safe. Lack of public safety affects business. It affects our economy. It affects our ability to attract people to the area. Can you imagine a year from now we implement this, we reduce crime, which is what Anderson did. We can start telling a different story about how our citizens said, enough is enough, we're going to fix this. And that's a great story to be able to market to get businesses here.
It is true, but 2 years ago, the same story was being touted by our by people running for the council. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is 2 years later. We're in worse shape than we were before.
Right.
No more, I mean, maybe a couple more policemen. You know, I mean, there's been no changes. So the only thing that's going to work is a pay raise. Or a, not a pay raise, but a tax, raising the taxes.
But, yeah.
Well, think about this question because we have to take a break. Because what happens if that doesn't pass? What do we do then? We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show with those brought to you by Budget Blinds. Gosh, we had Jerry over at the house, and you know how to increase the usefulness of your air conditioning and cut your back of your electric bills, and how to put with your window coverings that meet your decor, meet your budget, all of these things. And Budget Blinds can do that. Give Jerry a call. Yeah, 226-9027. I'm telling you what, these guys are experts. They've got everything you could possibly want, including these solar shades that can really cut back on the amount of heat that gets in your house, and you might get a rebate from REU. Again, 226-9027, or visit them on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Bingo.
Don't miss our monthly $24,000 bingo blowout, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400.
Cash.
$25 for two books. Additional books are only $5, plus 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game
for a mystery prize.
So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Wind River.
For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com.
Bingo calendar subject to
bingo is better at the river.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Vaught. Good morning, everybody. It is 27 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here. It's
73 degrees.
Because you have nothing written up there. 73 degrees. It's going to go up to 98 today. I was going to make it, I almost said 80, because I was just going to make something up, because it feels like it's 80 out there. But it's 73, going to go up to 98 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793, discounts for seniors and veterans. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. They are a veteran-owned business, open 7 days a week with Espresso Joes, with the finest coffees and cold drinks that you can find, plus walking next door is the finest tobacco emporium in all of Northern California with a great... I somehow managed in the middle of this to change from Cypress Square Barbershop into Tobacco and Brew. How did I do that?
I'm not sure. That was quite a trick.
Did you see how I did it? And nobody noticed it until I started going. I said, wait a minute, didn't I start with Cypress Square Barbershop? Didn't I just start with that? I start with those words?
Yeah, well, actually, I thought you were just following along the lines of our state legislature that puts a law in one end and something completely different comes out the other end.
This was supposed to be a Cypress Square Barbershop ad, but it ended up being a Tobacco and Brew ad. Okay.
I can see them merging with a
And people say, why don't you run for office? This is why. This is one of the reasons. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, is the finest barbershop. I go there. I go there all the time. Bob goes there all the time. Everybody goes there. If you're anybody, you go there. Julie goes there. Oh, she walks by and she waves. She can go in and say, vote for me. There you go.
That's right.
It's a veteran-owned business with discounts for seniors and veterans. Right off of it. That's wrong. I'm sorry. How did I do? Oh, you know why? Because I'm sitting here looking at my, looking at the read, so it just reminds me, not like I don't do them every day. But there was Tobacco and Brew. So as soon as I started into Cypress Square, I just kind of looked down there and just shifted over.
You realize that Tim and them are just going to be merciless.
I know.
Ever
since the day I walked in with one brown shoe and one black shoe. Okay. Now, if you have shoes that are very similar and it's dark because you don't want to wake up your wife.
I've done that.
You put on shoes, and, which is a good reason to pick up your shoes every night, as Linda says. That way I don't walk around like a befuddled person.
I have an identical pair of Clarks that one's brown, one's black.
Yeah, that's why
I've done that.
You know what? And the funniest thing is when I'm wearing that one brown and one black, I've got another pair at home just like it. I'm here with Julie Winter, who is running for Reading City Council, who's probably asking herself right now, why do I keep doing
that
this?
That I've never done. You wear two different shoes.
You never have?
No.
Oh, come on. All right. Before we get to Terry, I want to ask you this question. Unfunded liabilities.
Yes.
Is a huge problem. We've got the pilot lawsuit, mm-hmm. which could cost
just
us
pending.
Could cost us $6 million a year. The unfunded liabilities, which keeps growing.
Yes.
What's the solution to this?
The solution, you've got a short-term and a long-term solution. Especially when you're talking about the unfunded liabilities, it's kind of like, I look at it as kind of like a mortgage. It's payments that you're going to be making out over many, many years. It's not like this all this money comes due at any one point.
Yeah, but it's like an adjustable mortgage.
Yes, and depending on how the stock market is doing and all kinds of other factors. I met with Sherry DeMagge, who's head of personnel. She kind of laid it out for me. And one thing you do know is you know what your obligations are going to be over the next 5 years. The state gives you an idea of what your obligations will be so you don't get hit out of the blue, out of 1 year, all of a sudden you've got many more millions of dollars. So this puts, restraint. That means we need to be careful about every employee that we hire. It means that we negotiate as high as possible for the employees to pay their higher portion, which they have done so. The employee groups are now paying 8%. Some are negotiating up to 12% of their wages into the retirement. So that's one issue is, being really, really careful in your expenses on one end. And then big picture, we need to look at jobs. It means we need more money coming into the general fund. So you can't continue to keep cutting the pie in smaller pieces forever. You can do that for a while.
You need
a bigger pie.
So
that's why I keep coming back. We need to make jobs our number one priority. We need to make it easy for businesses to start here. We need more funds coming into the city. We have infrastructure.
infrastructure needs. We have retirement needs. You know, we have streets that need to be repaired, parks that are in disrepair. It's just lots of needs, and it's funding. Okay. And the thing is, I've gone out to numerous city departments, and I'm not seeing. And I posted this on Facebook. I see departments that are being run lean. I'm seeing people running their butts off. I see managers wearing two or three different hats. I don't see excess employees. Like I talked about streets. And it's the same way at the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant and the reporting that's right. There's not excess people around. They're often doing two or three different jobs.
I don't think you've got a bloated government as far as that goes. But I think that they're happy with the status quo. A lot of people working there because they get their checks every 2 weeks. They don't have a sense of urgency, and I think that starts from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a
mm-hmm.
sense of urgency because they get paid every 2 weeks, and you know that was the job they took. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. You have a question for Julie?
Yeah,
and not a political statement.
No, not really. I want to bring up a couple of quick things and see what she thinks. First of all, when you talk about the money, we have a new police station, we have new cars, we have new equipment. We had a study that we paid $200,000 for that said we didn't need any more police officers, we needed community officers. We have the seventh highest paid police force in the United States per capita, the seventh highest paid. We've had raises since then, and in 2012, we had 33 officers, captains, and the chief that were making more than the police chief of San Diego. With one particular one who is a motorcycle policeman who at that time was making with benefits in excess of $198,000 a year. You've got $213 million in unfunded liability that we find on the books with the city. And the general fund, the budget, 2007 to 2008 was $72.8 million with 172 police. Now we have a fund of $73.5 million, and actually some things are a little cheaper, with only 131 police. So I think it's a mismanagement of money, and really and truly the unfunded liability isn't like a mortgage, because ask Loyalton. They had it pulled for five employees. That's going to cost them $1.5 million for five employees, and that will bankrupt the city of Loyalton and Sierra County. So I think there's some real problems. We do have potholes, I agree, but I want to know how you're going to solve those problems. And how you're going to bring the budget back in and bring the wages into something that's realistic.
Okay, Terry. That's a good point. Hey, by the way, the chief of police is on tomorrow, too.
So I've talked to him. He has all these statistics. We gave him a study and sat down with him. And he has the study on this. And his comment to us was, I can't help it if I have a high-paid police force. End of quote.
Hey, Terry, could you send me, would you mind emailing me the data that you have on the officer's pay? You can do that at
June. 2012, you can ask the chief. He's got it.
Okay.
Ask the chief. He's got a copy of it. The study was done 2 years ago. He has a copy of it in his office. And that was 2012.
Because when I looked at,
Thanks, Terry.
Yeah. I looked at an independent study. It was actually a really huge write-up done in the Sacramento Bee, and I want to say it's 2014. And it showed that the average officer, this is salary, this is not benefits, but this is salary, overtime, all their actual pay was in the state of California was $95,000. And for Redding Police Department, the officers made on average, this is the average, was $91,000. And, of course, it varied depending on the size of the community and the median income within the community. And really, Redding was pretty much on target for the size of our community and the median income. I didn't see that our police officers were overpaid. And the same could be said for firefighters. They were also under the average. So in the whole state, you know, you have the median and the city of Redding for their pay for their officers was not out of line.
Okay, so. And we you know we hung up on Terry after he made his point, so he doesn't have a chance to come back on that. But I've seen that study too, and we go back to the old statistics and numbers, you know, on how things are. Mm-hmm. 91,000, I think they're making like $15 an hour or something like that. Then you add on to like motor officers get probably danger pay for riding motorcycles, mm-hmm. and you get mm-hmm. your overtime and all this. And then the benefits. But, hell, how can you be a policeman without benefits? I mean, because they're getting injured all the time.
They are, and they've increased the retirement age, so we're concerned about retirement. So now we have these officers that new hires can't retire until 57. You can imagine being 56,
57 years old and chasing down some meth head? I mean, think about injuries.
I am the wrong person to be talking about this because I was 58 years old running down the streets of
Fallujah. All right, well, so, then you show them how to do it.
I'm just saying, but it doesn't mean they can't advance up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And the fact is that, yeah, you're right. Me fighting a meth head, when I was 58, I would have used different methods. I would have just probably been under police brutality at that point. Let's go to the phones. Mimi, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for the way you are loving our community and striving to make it better and to bring hope back to our area. I applaud you in that. And I turned in a little late today. I apologize, but have you already touched on your tour of the Rabba and
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Didn't get to talk too much about the streets. A little bit, we did. Yeah, thanks, Mimi.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's just my comment. I think you're fabulous.
Thank you.
Amazing for Reading, and I am honored to cast my vote in your direction.
Well, thank you for making the best wine in the North State. make us all happy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You know, little cheerleaders are calling in there. That's okay. That's what people do. We're talking about the unfunded liability. You know, I guess the bottom line is it's got to be a bigger pie. It's either got to be a bigger pie because we've got so many things facing us, Julie, frankly, I'd kind of forgotten about the pilot project that was brought up yesterday. If that pilot program, that could be $6 million.
Right.
We've got this raise in taxes now that's proposed. It's going to bring in $11 million a year. We have REU, which is proposing we're going to have a raise in our water by something like 20%. Mm-hmm. REU is proposing raising the rates. I mean, our county and our city can only, has only got, you can only go to the well so many times here.
Right.
And I don't want you to answer this yet because we've got to take a break. But I want you to address this when we come back because with constantly raising the rates in REU, and frankly, people don't want to hear, it's so much lower, though, than PG&E. And people really don't want to hear that because we're not in PG&E land. And all the other things that are being raised, the rates being raised for everything else, and now we're raising taxes. And, right now I don't know if there's that light at the end of the tunnel unless somebody can, as you're saying, can say, hey, look, this is what will do it, and here is a systematic plan on how to do it. We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by the combined offices of Tobacco and Brew and Cypress Square Barbershop. And if you missed me at 8:30, that makes no sense to you at all. But Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, veteran-owned business, open 7 days a week. A great place to go to. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
Ready to rock this summer? You can learn to be a rock star at Turtle Bay in our summer exhibition, Rock You, the Institute of Rock and Roll. Starting May 4th, guests can explore the foundations of rock, hear live concerts, and even try their hand at playing instruments. Interactive, entertaining, and educational for all ages, Rock You is an experience you won't want to miss. Rock You is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank and designed by Stage 9 Exhibit Designs. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's 10 minutes until the hour of 9 o'clock. 74 degrees, going up 98 today. You know what? You might want to enjoy today because tomorrow is going to be hotter. The weekend's going to be hot. And Bob Belongi's famous, if I can just say his famous weather report. Bob, give it to us again.
Hot.
There you go. What's it going to be? Hot. So get used to it. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business. Bastiani Arms, been in a business working on, this is their seventh year, at 2539 Larkspur, and he's been doing a great job. He and Sarah have built a super, super business here. Anything it needs to do with shooting, go to Bastiani Arms. Buying the guns, ammo, all the shooting accessories, classes in CCW and hunter safety, everything that you can imagine is at Bastiani Arms. Give him a chance to meet or beat the big box stores. He can do it. And veterans, hey, veterans, you get a real discount at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. Okay, we're here with Julie Winters, and Terry is called back because I think that he took umbrage with some of the statistics you used. So, Terry,
yeah, I want to.
You have a rebuttal here for a minute, and then we're moving on.
I'm going very quickly, okay? For example, we have a corporal in 2012 that made $87,588.80 in base pay. His overtime pay was $28,790.85. That's 33% of his salary. His other pay, they have something called other pay, was $16,345.75, which means along with his base pay of $87,588.80, he made an additional $45,136.60. Plus his benefits were $64,451.33, which made his pay as a corporal and benefits $197,176.73. So you have overtime pay and other pay that equals 52% of his base salary. So when you're talking base salary, other pay, overtime pay, how much police officers get for education, it's apples and oranges. I'm not saying that our guys aren't worth it. I've never said that. I'm just saying we can't afford it, and it is out of line.
So, okay, but we're going to talk about this perhaps tomorrow because Chief's going to be on. But here's the question I want to ask Terry when you call back tomorrow. What's your alternative? You don't need to give it to me now. And this is what I say. But, so what's your alternative? to this.
I've got one.
Okay, well, tell me tomorrow when the Chiefs are on, because this is a great thing. But I want to give Julie her time. We've only got a couple minutes left. So thanks for the phone call.
One quick thing. You have these statistics with me, my friend. We communicated back and forth. You've got them somewhere on your computer.
I've got them in there. I see them.
You do have them. You've got everything I'm talking about.
I will pass it on to Julie.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, Julie, we've got like 8 minutes left. Let's go wherever you want.
Okay. Let me just say, I just want to put in a plug for city employees, and I'm not a cheerleader for the city employees. I just want to say they're our greatest asset. They're the ones with the wealth, the institutional knowledge, and everywhere I've gone, I've seen people working really, really hard and wanting to do more and not having enough staff, not having enough money. And we now have difficulty in some areas now in our police department recruiting because our pay isn't equal to other communities. So it's harder to get lateral transfers, which is what we've depended on. And so now we're going to be doing more training, sending officers off to academy because the pay has to be equal to the job. Certainly we don't want mall cops in the police department. We want professional law force that's going to protect us and not bring lawsuits to our city. So I want to make sure that we maintain quality and that we do it obviously in the most cost-effective manner that we can. It's easy to bash city employees because they can't defend themselves, and it might be a good idea to bring some of those people on if they'd be willing, like have Sherry DeMag come on and talk about personnel and some of the challenges of what it's like with personnel and the cost of healthcare insurance.
So would you support raises for the city personnel?
Would I support raises? The raises that we have been given have all been with give and take. In other words, you pay more for your retirement. And so we give you this 2% raise. The raises have been pretty small, and there's been also a give on the part of the unions. And so, you know, now you've got, I think, the police union agreeing to like a 12% increase for the retirement. So
you would support raises if they paid more into the retirement?
If it was.
So it offset it?
Right. Not raises just for raises, and raises need to be in really. I would let. Boy, I'm going to probably raise a red flag here. I think raises need to be based on. This is what we do in work based on your production. And on how well the city's doing. We increase jobs. We increase funding. Everybody does that. Then you can get a raise. But it's depending on the budget. It depends on how we're doing towards our goals as a city.
They don't have to do anything. They get paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I would love to see some incentive pay. We have that in our staffing at Advanced Rating. So we've put that in place and in other places. So, you know, you bring in shows that make money, you get a bonus. So there's incentive.
Instead of just sitting there every day stamping papers or not stamping papers.
Right.
Okay. What about privatization?
Privatization, I think we should look at all departments. From what I understand, this was done in 2012, but it can always be done. It can always be looked at. The Civic is a great example of a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. The library is also a public-private partnership. And I think RABA is as well. Those are the three areas that I understand to be the case. But I'm willing to look at it. It just needs to make sense economically, and you need to make sure that the level of service doesn't drop off. So we could look at that. I'm willing to look at that. We should look at that in every department. I don't know that it's feasible. It was done. I know that they were seriously looked at it at parks a few years ago, but it ended up being not cost effective.
Well, you know what? I would like to have that study done again by somebody that's outside, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I can't see how it could be less cost effective if you're hiring people. It's like a contractor.
Yeah.
You pay more up front, mm-hmm. but you don't pay anything on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would look at. Okay, it's going to cost us as much up front, but 5 years from now, we don't have to pay medical.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pay retirements. We have to take care of the kids, any of that.
Yeah.
That's what contractors are. And this is where people make the mistake. Oh, look how much money we're paying for these contractors. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of 5 years when that contract's over and we're in a different situation, that goes away.
Mm-hmm. It just needs to make economic sense.
And that's what you're pushing is economic sense.
It needs to make economic sense. And you don't want to lose quality.
So you are a queen for a day or for a week or for a month. What would you do first?
As queen for a day?
You're in charge of everything. You're a benevolent queen. So what would you do for the city of Reading?
Oh my goodness! I hadn't thought of that question like that. Well, you're going to challenge me. I think that we need to. I would love to just be able to sit and tell the stories of success and Hope. Have just a whole run of people come up and tell their story. That would be my idea of a grand week. The companies that are emerging, the startups that are emerging. I feel like our city needs a big, giant vaccine of hope, of what we can do and what we can become. There's just such a poverty mentality within our community. People who feel we can't ever do anymore, can't ever be anymore. And we need hope that we can be amazing. If other cities are amazing, we can be amazing. I'm actually headed up to Bend, Oregon in a week and a half on my own. I've made arrangements to meet with Roger Lee of EDCO and a bunch of their other city leaders to look at how they've done what they've done to brilliantly brand and market and create a tourism destination, a place for microbreweries, a place with lots of culture, tech businesses, their incubator. It's just incredible what they've done to raise their median income and drop unemployment. So I want to know that. I'm really interested in studying that. So that's interesting. That's coming up as well. I'd love to talk to you after I get back from Bend.
Yep. Okay, we've been here with Julie Winter, who is candidate for Reading City Council, who believes in making that pie bigger by bringing in more business.
The bottom line.
Bottom line is you can't keep going to the well and taxing people and doing all these things.
Yep.
So now we have to make more. So we have to bring in, and I think we're poised here with the tech companies. We've got coding schools going. We've got a number of companies here starting. I'd love to see that high-speed internet, that fiber optic cable come downtown here, and I think that the city needs to do that. Chattanooga,
it was worth
$26 million to them in Chattanooga.
Yep.
I think we could do that here. We didn't get into Stillwater, because there's just not enough time to discuss that. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Honor.
How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, certainly. Julie@juliewinter.com. That's a great way to email me. I'll give you my cell. I'll just throw it out there. It's 530-604-8173. The best way is probably to email me, Julie, JULIE@juliewinter.com.
Okay. Julie, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Tomorrow, the chief of police. Hey, today, my friends, Veterans Cemetery at 11 a.m., 12 veterans will be interred at the cemetery with all honors from the Mission in America Project with Fred Salante out there. So today, August 10th, 11 a.m., out at IGO. Thanks a lot for being with us. Again, tomorrow, the chief of police, Rob Plady, will be with us. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta.
This hour, townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason.
Today, the Department of Justice announces the outcome of our investigation.
A more than year-long investigation of policing in Baltimore.
BPD engages in a pattern or practice of making unconstitutional stops, searches, and arrests, using enforcement strategies that produce severe and unjustified disparities in the rates of stops, searches, and arrests of African Americans.
Vinita Gupta heads the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. The Baltimore PD has agreed to talks with the Justice Department aimed at coming up with court-enforceable reforms. Baltimore's police commissioner says officers guilty of egregious violations have been fired. Donald Trump insists that he was not advocating an armed insurrection when he said that Second Amendment people might take action if Hillary Clinton as president tried to stack the Supreme Court with anti-gun justices.
Oh, no, this is political power.
Trump talking to CBS North Carolina, Democrats...